In the grand theater of life, we all seek a comeback, a resurgence, a rekindling of our inner fire. But how do we spark that flame? Welcome to Reignite Resilience. This is not just another podcast. This is a journey, a venture into the heart of human spirit, the power of resilience, and the art of reigniting our passions.
Welcome back to another episode of Reignite Resilience. I am your co-host, Natalie Davis. Hello, Pam. How are you?
I am absolutely fabulous. I'm looking out my window in my office and my tree is in full bloom with white flowers on it. The sky is blue. It's going to be close to 80 today. This is my happy place.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. I love it. I wish I had trees. I don't have trees, but the sky is blue here.
You will have trees when they grow. You will.
Eventually.
Yes.
But I do enjoy looking out my window and seeing, you know, clear sky. I don't typically watch the weather. I only keep the weather app on my phone during the winter season. So now that we're officially in spring, I feel like it's, you know, it's like a game of roulette. You never know what you're going to get, but at least you just hope it's not like 2 feet of snow again.
Yes. And you know what? Let's be fair. Let's be honest. They're not always accurate. So I would rather just not know and just be pleasantly surprised.
Agreed. And today's a lovely day. I love it.
Yes. I love it.
Well, we are going to dive into a different area, kind of, you know, a lot of our focus and emphasis when we talk about overcoming adversities and resiliency on this podcast, they're typically things that we have, that personal experiences that we have.
Yes.
Things that happen within our own circle, not that we control it, but just within our space and oftentimes directly to us. But today we're kind of venturing out because there are things that happen that we experience, that we live through, that have an impact on how we show up, definitely has an impact on our mindset moving forward. In some cases has an impact on our physical well-being, depending on what it is. So Pam, tell us a little bit about where we're going today. Where are we taking our listeners?
Well, you know, this came up. I was on a coaching call with one of my clients, and we were talking about those phone calls to people when they come to your mind. And I shared a story about something that had happened to me when in my real estate career. And there was huge regret in me not calling somebody that came to my mind.
Yeah.
And so then I started to think about other things that have happened in my life that have had a significant impact, meaning that I can remember the day, the time, where I was standing, and what the emotion was that I felt when this event happened, whether it was a personal event or a public event, something that impacted all of us, you know, sometimes just in the United States, but sometimes globally. And I just thought, it was like, you know what, this might be an interesting topic to kind of just unpack a little bit, because maybe, because I hadn't thought about that event in a long time.
Yes.
And I was like, why? Why didn't I think about that? Because it was a significant thing. So I thought this might be just a good time to kind of, you know, go down maybe a walk through history and about some of the big significant things that have happened in the world or in our country.
In our country, then, I think. Yeah. There are so many more in the world. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And then some of the maybe things that have happened to us personally that have been significant events that will forever change us.
Yeah.
So that's,
or even those subtleties. But let's dive in. I think this is a great topic, because we often say, like, we mention major life events, and if it's, you know, either within our own circle, within our own like little bubble of life, or just as we're experiencing it as a nation, when you think, well, do you remember where you were? In most cases, you often hear that I absolutely do.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And so I started kind of just pulling my thoughts together and trying to think of some of like the oldest ones that I remember. And for me, probably the first one that I remember was that when the Challenger exploded. Mm. And that happened in 86. So I'm just going to throw myself under the bus. I was 16. I was finishing up ninth grade. And I remember, I mean, they brought, we joked about it, but they wheeled the TV in on the cart.
Yes.
Into our classroom so that we could watch this significant event, because there was a school teacher on the shuttle.
Yeah.
And I just remember the moment that it exploded and just the feeling that kind of almost rippled throughout our school.
Yeah.
You know, the disbelief, the fear, the sadness.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you remember where you were?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was not 16. I was not in high school. I was in elementary school.
Whatever.
But the same thing, I was in elementary school and I absolutely remember it. And I remember, I can still envision the classroom. I remember where I was sitting. We all gathered together and we were sitting on the floor in the classroom because we didn't have enough televisions for each classroom. So they kind of combined two or three classes together, which at that time was like, we never did combined class things. So we knew something major was happening. And they rolled the television in, plugged it in, got it all powered up. And then we had this room filled with multiple teachers and all of these children. And you're right. Like, what the thing that comes to mind for me is like that sense of community with yes. your peers, right? We were going through that, living through that in that moment collectively together and processing. Like, it's just kind of the sense of unity as a child, especially because mm-hmm. I think about that now or any of the recent events that we experience. And I know that oftentimes the parents' first response, and I'm saying that from an I statement because I'm one of yeah. those. When we've had those instances, my first reaction is I'm going to get my kids.
Yes.
And I pick them up and I bring them home because yes. I want to have that in my own family nucleus. But in 86, it was, you know, we're going through this with basically strangers, but yeah. we had this sense of unity as we all watched. I mean, it was, yeah. and the heartbreak and for yeah. me, I think it was more shock than anything else.
And being young, kind of, that was probably like the first major thing that we went through.
Yes.
That was significant that we witnessed. I mean, yeah. it's one thing to watch the news of something happen after it happens.
Yes.
But to watch it as it unfolds, there's a power there that feeling is just almost overwhelming.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wow. Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
All right. What is another one that you can think of that you remember as significant?
Gosh, well, I think the one that pops up that I remember, like, because I was actually a functioning adult, was 9/11. And at that time, not only an adult, but I was a mom, right? So it puts things in a different perspective. Like with the Challenger, I'm young. It's all new. I don't understand, but I do know like what it feels like. 9/11 was another one for me. And I remember hearing about it because I was driving into the office. At the time, I was living in Dallas proper.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. And the commute to work was a minimum of an hour, perfect. If not more. And I just dropped my daughter off at daycare and I had made my way into the office. I pulled into the parking lot, walked into the office, and every television in the office was on. No one was at their desk. And it was kind of this, again, a numb feeling that I felt going into the space, like everyone just confused and so much anxiety and angst. And then, you know, it's that moment of, why am I at the office? What's happening? Like, right? I need to go get my baby. I need to get home. But that was the thought for everyone in the entire city. And so the commute time to get home was ridiculous. The commute time for me to get, I mean, it was just kind of like this kind of space of chaos and you're in this frenzy. And again, that moment of, I just want to be close to those that I love. And so yeah. that was so hard. And yes, I loved my coworkers at the time. And, you know, all of that was important. Yeah. And so you go through that, like those stages of, again, it's shock. And then you're starting to process. And then the light bulb of, wait a minute, I don't want to sit in this break room with you watching TV. I'm done. Yeah. I'm done. Yeah. But then that pull, like I've got this obligation to also finish working, right?
Yeah. I have a job.
I've got a job.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was living in Fort Collins. I had two. So my youngest wasn't born yet. And yeah, I remember I was at work. And when we first heard, it was just like we heard it as it was unfolding, you know, yeah. somebody came in and said a small plane just crashed in and we thought it was like a single person plane accidentally crashed into one of the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
And then it was another one. And then it just started to unfold.
Yeah.
And the uncertainty and the fear
mm-hmm.
and the overall eeriness of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we just kept hearing about another plane crash, then the Pentagon.
Yeah.
and then all flights were grounded.
Yes.
And I still, it just gave me goosebumps. I still remember this day during that period of time. And I don't remember, it was like a week where there were no planes flying.
Yes.
And then I remember the first time I saw a plane and the fear that I felt, like, why is there a plane flying?
Yeah.
And it scared me.
Absolutely.
But it was such an eerie feeling. And I actually was in the evening that night that it happened, I was teaching. It was when I was teaching Dale Carnegie.
Yeah.
And so I still went because I needed to let people know that we were canceling and we didn't really have a way to get in touch with anybody.
To communicate that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was there meeting people outside, telling them that we weren't. And but it felt so weird to be away from my family. I wanted to be home. And I don't know about you, but it was like this need to know more. Like, yes. I was glued to the TV and yes. what was happening and how it was unfolding. And I just wanted more information because it was so, just, there was such uncertainty in that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, when you go through, like, what you, because we talk about, like, this pull, like, you still did the Dale Carnegie. I was still at work. Like, I was at work for hours, you know, after. Yeah. And it's, again, it's like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Right. Yeah. And not, I mean, it's, I don't know if I would go back and do it differently, but it's kind of like you had that pull of, I have this responsibility, but I also have this desire and this need. Yeah. But as you talk about, like, this need for information, oh my gosh, misinformation has been nothing for many, many years. I remember there was speculation that there, or with the plane that was heading towards Dulles, and then, like, wildfire.
Oh,
it spread through the office that there is a plane heading to Dallas instead of Dulles. And so,
oh my gosh,
everyone, like, is in this frenzy. And I'm like, oh, and I think that was the breaking point for me. I was like, I'm done.
I'm out.
I've got to go.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But again, misinformation just spreading like wildfire. But yeah, like, just needing to know and watching everything transpire. And I think, I mean, we get that now today, kind of at 10x, which I don't know if it's necessary or helpful, but it's there. It's where we are. It's the moment of time that we're living in. But yeah, that was a big one for me. That one will continue to.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
One other one that happened significantly earlier than 9/11. Well, it wasn't that much earlier. Was when Princess Diana died.
Oh. Let me use it as presence.
I don't know what it was about her. It was, I think I was I pregnant? Yeah, I was pregnant with Gwen. And I just remember, I just followed her because I loved all of the humanitarian work that she did. She was like, you know how when you're growing up as a girl, it was like, I had, you know, Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty. It was like, we had all these, you know, Disney princesses. And so she was this real life princess. Like.
Yes.
Bigger than life. And I watched her all the time. And I just remember when I found out she had been in the accident.
Yes.
And I cried.
Yeah.
And I cried for her kids.
Yes.
Because I was like thinking about the fact that these two boys weren't going to have their mom. And I just, in the media, you saw the relationship she had with her children.
Yep.
And I just, this like sense of just loss.
Yep.
And I just remember in my kitchen crying and actually just praying that she was going to be okay.
Yep.
And I didn't sleep that night. And then waking up to hear that she had passed away. And I was devastated. I went and bought every dang, and I still have them, all of the Time magazines, every magazine that came out that was like about her life.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that was, I don't know what it was about that, because she's not didn't live in America. She really didn't have much to do with us, but that was a significant, and that was in 97.
Yeah.
Yeah. So before Gwen was born. So
I have a family that lives in England, and I remember whenever they would come over to visit, we would always get something that was Princess Di. I mean, we had plates, cups, posters, wall, I'm not even going to say, I don't even remember what they were called. My parents had them hanging on the wall. Like, she was everywhere in my house. Yes, I just remember it. I still have, because I have my mom's china set, we still have, like, there are pieces that have Princess Di on them as well. But I, brand new mom, like, for me, and having, like, this infant toddler-ish child, you know, being a mom puts same thing, like being in that chapter of my life and realizing, like, oh my gosh, what if something happens to me? Right. Because you don't think about that.
Don't think about it.
You don't think about, oh gosh, if something happens to me, what's that?
Yeah.
What's anyways, that was a, That was a hard one. And it made me reevaluate, like, am I making the most of all of the moments that I have? Because again, nothing is promised, but that was like a, watching that all unfold, I felt like it was surreal.
It was surreal. Yeah.
It was just so surreal. That's it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The other one that was a significant one that happened just a couple of years after that was the Columbine shooting. Mm. And I think that one hit me because my oldest was in school.
Yeah.
And just the fear, because I remember watching it. I happened to be home because Gwen was little. I happened to be watching it unfold on TV and the SWAT team and the children running out, and just that fear of, oh my gosh, are my kids safe?
Yeah.
And then just the devastation I felt for those parents.
Oh my gosh.
Not knowing and then finding out.
Yeah.
And then the kids that were in the school that survived it, that went through that. That was, I just remember, and it was, oh my gosh, Sarah McLachlan's song. I remember that song like was playing over and over again. It's Angel. I don't remember the name of the song though, but I just remember listening to that and just weeping, like, and watching it unfold in my family room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's close to home for us, right? Like this is, that's our backyard. That's a hard one. And I think that's probably one where the impression that it left has carried on for so long. Both of my girls have graduated from high school, but I do remember, like, just if there was anything in form of a lockdown that happened for the kids, and both of my girls unfortunately experienced that, and getting that message from them, like, we're on lockdown, then you just wait, right? I feel like in those moments, I just hold my breath and I just wait, because you can't go and get them. You can't be with them. There's nothing that you can do. It's kind of out of your control until you get the, okay, we're off lockdown, I can go home, or you can come and get me, or whatever that is. And those are hard. Those are tough. Yeah. And we've continued to live through those pieces. And those are like little ones, right? Those don't make the news. Yeah. Typically they stay pretty isolated to whoever's enrolled and the parents that are there.
Yeah.
But those are hard. Because my heart still stops, my breath still stops. I'm like, okay,
absolutely.
What are we going to do?
Yeah. And I think it's that feeling of powerlessness. Like,
yes,
you know, there's nothing you can do.
No.
And that, as a parent, not being able to protect your kids is, I think, one of the scariest things that you could ever go through. And I actually remember a time where I almost kind of lost it a little bit, was when we had a tornado that hit Windsor, which is very close. And it was coming towards Fort Collins.
Yeah.
And I'm like in my car racing to the elementary school, calling the other moms saying, I'm going to get my kids. Do you want me to grab your kids?
Yeah.
And then I've got a car full of kids racing them home in this panic, this desperate panic.
Yeah.
And like everybody in the basement, because we didn't know.
Yeah.
And it was just, again, that fear and that powerlessness. And, and my heart goes out to the teachers that have to stay calm and be present for those kids when they probably have kids of their own and families of their own that they can't be there to protect. So
to protect
heart goes out to all of those people.
Absolutely. I have to say thank you to the teachers. I mean, whenever I hear that someone's an educator, I'm like, thank you. You guys are a whole different breed. Like, thank you for what you do. Even recently, circulating on social media, there's with all of the earthquakes that we just experienced in California and on the other side, New Jersey. So on both coasts but there's a video that's circulating of a teacher in a classroom, and it's all caught on video that they're just going through their lesson and the earthquake starts, and it's like, instinctively, all of the kids go under the desk. The teacher goes under the desk, and the earthquake is lasting a long time, right? Like in my mind, it might have been like, 45 seconds or something.
Yeah.
And one of the students like screams out to the teacher, like, do we just stay here? And he's like, just stay calm. Everyone stay under your desk. It's going to be fine. But like that teacher has a family and individuals that they probably want to check on, but they go into this like protective mode of it's going to be okay. Everyone stay in your place. And then moments later, he's like, is everyone okay? Everyone feel okay? And they're like, yep. But you can tell that they're all like shaken, not just like literally, but they're like figuratively shaken as well. And so to be able to hold that space, and again, kudos to the educators out there. We appreciate you.
Yeah, 100%. And then the last one and the most recent one was the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I remember it was, you know, in March, it was the week leading up to spring break. And we get an email saying, hey, have the kids bring home all of their stuff because spring break's going to last 2 weeks.
2 weeks. I remember it.
Oh my God.
I remember it because we had many a sleepovers at my house.
Yes. And then it was, you know, it was I moved my daughter and her fiance and their dog and their cat out of an apartment because their lease was about to be up. And we were afraid that we were going to be all sheltered in place and not be able to leave. So yeah. Then I've got all of them living in my house.
Yeah.
And my desk, because I'm working from home now, is in my bedroom.
Yep.
I've got a dog and two cats and my, yes. It was like this crazy isolation, but this beautiful, and thank goodness I did have family.
Yeah.
So I wasn't isolated. I did have a house full of people where we were able to play games and support each yeah. other and be there for, but I know the significance of that and how many people didn't have that and felt completely isolated and alone.
Yeah.
And that was a global event.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
You think about all of these other events, none of them were global.
Right.
They were the United States or they were the UK.
Yeah.
But this was one where the entire world, for the first time ever, was all going through a significant thing
yeah.
together, together, connectedly.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. and yet we all felt so alone.
100%. There was, I think, an increased level of loneliness across the world mm-hmm. because there was so much uncertainty and fear. I'm just going to say, like, there was so much uncertainty and fear for the most part. I would say the majority of the population lived in that space. That
yes.
I don't know if we really like paused to acknowledge like the amount of loss as well. And this is something that actually yes. has just popped up for me the last couple of weeks. It's like that realization, because it's a million people that we lost, like as a result of yeah. the pandemic. And it's like, that is a significant yeah. number. And I remember, you know, as we started navigating through that, I'm blessed. We didn't have any direct loss within that impacted our family, but I had close friends that had family members that they lost, and like services were delayed. Like they couldn't yeah. do the service because, you know, of the yeah. social distancing and all of that. So just being left to process through yeah. and mourn and not have closure or that sense of closure. There was just so much. I feel like there was just a whirlwind of emotions that people yeah. were experiencing, sometimes collectively and then sometimes like independently, but we didn't even know about it because we couldn't see people, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like
yeah.
there were pockets of like pain and there yeah. was so much that I feel like that was probably a hard one for me to really
yeah.
wrap my mind around in terms of how many layers it went in affecting people.
Agreed. And I don't know that we're even going to know the full extent because I think about the kids that were wow. in school during this time. I mean, my son was starting, he didn't get to finish his junior high.
Yeah.
And then he started high school and did not go to school the first year of high school.
Yeah.
I look at his class because they're all graduating this year. It's not what it was.
We hope that you have enjoyed part one of our two-part discussion about major life events and how they impact our outlook on life as well as our resiliency. There are oftentimes things that we experience that we may not in that moment realize the ongoing effect and impact that it will have on our future decision-making, how we're showing up in the world. Make sure that you come back and join us. Well, Pam and I, we're going to dive back into part two of this discussion and explore some of our own personal experiences that we've had in life that continue to impact us even today. We'll see you soon. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Reignite Resilience. We hope that you had amazing ahas and takeaways. Remember to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform, like it and download the upcoming episodes. And if you know anyone in your life that is looking to continue to ignite their resilience, share it with them. We look forward to seeing you on our future episodes. And until then, continue to reignite that fire within your hearts.